Paul said they're looking for a piano player. I said, don't be looking that way, all right? I appreciate so much the choir tonight. God bless you, Brother Danny, and just all the folks from Center that are here that even didn't come sing but just came. God bless you. You are a blessing to this pastor. And I appreciate the heart you sing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're a blessing. And I appreciate being here at Pleasant Hill tonight. I mean that. I went home last night. I told Courtney. I said, boy, my heart just was touched by that dear humble pastor. I saw him and his dear wife in this altar praying and others gathered with them. I appreciate your pastor more than ever. I've got to know him just a little bit through these meetings we've gathered. But just already, last night and tonight and the corresponding we've had, just more and more, I just appreciate him and I appreciate your brother. And I know you know that, Pleasant Hill, that you've got a pastor that loves you and loves the Lord. And I am honored to be here tonight. Well, I want to invite you, if you would, please take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter number 17. Now, you'll notice sometimes I'll take my watch off. As Brother Lemire said, if you see that happen, it doesn't mean a thing, all right? It's just laying there. Matthew chapter 17. Oftentimes, and I'm sure Brother Greg can say this, Brother Paul, other pastors and preachers here, and you're doing revival, you're seeking the heart of God, and you're praying through, and sometimes during the day you may struggle through to try to kind of zero in exactly what it is God wants. But really and truly, last night, driving home, walking into my house, God began to put this passage on my heart. I went to sleep with it. I woke up with it. I haven't been able to leave it all day. Haven't been able to get my mind around anything else but this passage.
Amen.
And I've shared from this passage before in different settings and different things, but God just really stirred something in my heart that I believe is for tonight. I believe it's for us.
Amen.
And it's about the glory of God. And the glory that was revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ in a very precious moment that's revealed to us, that we almost have the curtain pulled back at a moment that nobody was there but Jesus and three other disciples from this world. There were others there. But there was a moment of glory they saw. That I pray, God, give us just a moment of His glory tonight.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 17, if you found your place, would you, if you're physically able, stand with me as we read God's Word together. Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse number 1. You'll also find this in Mark's Gospel chapter 9, Luke chapter 9. But we're going to look at all of those, but I want to just pinpoint right here to begin with tonight. Verse 1 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Luke's Gospel says this, "They saw his glory." Verse 3 says, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them," or we would say Elijah. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Mark's Gospel said Peter said that because he didn't know what else to say, and he felt like he needed to say something. But the Bible says in verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I want to share a thought with you tonight, simply this. Glory on the mountain. Would you pray with me? Father, tonight, thank you for the wonderful worship. Thank you for the time of fellowship and prayer that we've already had. But I pray, Father, in these moments right here, that you would, God, just fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you would preach through me, God, these truths that you've been stirring in me, Father God. Lord, you've allowed my cup to overflow a few times today. But I pray, God, that you just spill out of me, God, what you poured into me, Father. And I pray, God, that we'd leave this place different. God, I just ask you, God, tonight. Lord, I'd almost pray as Moses was bold enough to ask one day on the side of the mountain, Lord, would you show us your glory? And I pray tonight, God, we'd leave this place different than we came in. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You might be seated. The theme of the glory of God runs through the entire Bible. But to try to define the glory of God, as one man put it, is almost be like trying to the difference between defining a basketball and defining the word beauty. Defining the word basketball seems very simple. You would talk about its size, its shape, its dimension. You can explain how you use it, what you do with it. But when you try to explain the word beauty and define that word beauty, it's multifaceted, isn't it? I mean, there's many ways you could go with that and try to explain that. I feel like that tonight, trying to define the glory of God. Because the word glory simply means weighty and honor. It really means the splendor and the divine presence of God. If I were to clarify, just kind of bring it down to simple terms, the best way to define the glory of God from the Old Testament and all the way through would be the manifestation or the display of God's power and God's presence. We see it in Moses when Moses saw the glory of God on the mountainside and was drawn to the burning bush. We see the glory of God as Moses told him, if you saw the glory of God and the miracles that I performed in Egypt that delivered you out. It was the display of God's power and display of God's presence. They saw the glory of God when there was a cloud that followed them by day and a pillar of fire by night. And as the nation of Israel would go to the wilderness, they had a tabernacle that was set up where they could worship God. And they would stop from their journeys. The cloud would overshadow the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord, the power and presence of Almighty God, would rest upon that tabernacle. We see there was a time when the glory would stay upon that tabernacle. It would stay upon that place. But there came a time when God's people, we find in 1 Samuel, had so walked away from God, had so not listened to the call of God, that the Bible says they wrote, Ichabod, the glory has departed. Yeah. But later on, David's son Solomon was commissioned to build the temple of God. And the Bible says Solomon prayed for God to inhabit that place. Solomon knew God was bigger than a temple. Solomon knew that there was no way he could contain the presence and power of God. But I want you to know something. He said, I want you to manifest your presence. Would you come to where you are and come to this place? And the Bible says the glory of God fell on that place. Listen now, the priests could not even minister because the glory of God fell upon that temple. All throughout the Old Testament, you'll see moments of the manifest presence and the power of Almighty God. What about the New Testament? In the New Testament, the glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God is revealed to us in none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He came full of grace and glory. But you need to understand something. Philippians chapter 2 tells us this. That while He was here on this earth, He emptied Himself. He laid aside His glory. He never once stopped being God. He was still 100% God, but He also became 100% man. He took upon Himself the form of a human being so that He laid aside, He emptied Himself of His glory. And He never but one time allowed that ever to be seen in its full capacity. And it was on this mountain we read to you tonight. It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. It is where Jesus Christ allowed Peter, James, and John to get a glimpse of His glory. It's a moment where he began to see. Did you know that the glory of God, it always goes right together with revival? If you look in the Old Testament, when it talks about the glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God, it always linked with revival. In the New Testament, it's always linked with Jesus. So hear what I want to say to you tonight. Yes, those old boys on that mountain got to see a glimpse of His glory. For just a moment, He let what was inside of Him come fully out. And they saw Him, they said, so bright, so white, it was whiter than a bleacher. Than a miller could do the could clean the sheets. There was no way they'd seen anything that bright and white on this earth. He was full of glory and greatness on that mountainside. Amen. But I want you to hear me tonight. I believe even now, after He's come to the cross, been resurrected, ascended to the Father, I believe He still gives moments of glory here on this earth. I believe we still have moments of seeing the presence and power of Almighty God. I just want to say tonight, I want to be like Moses. You know, when you think about Moses, how bold it was for Moses to stand. As he went to the mountain, he went into the cloud to speak to God as a man would speak to a man. And the Bible says Moses said, "You're going to listen." The children of Israel had sinned against God. God was ready to wipe them out. But Moses stood in between them.
Amen.
And God heard Moses' prayer. And God said, "Okay, I'll go with you, Moses. I'm not going to wipe them out. I'm going to let you go and I'm going to let you follow me." Moses says, "Hey, I can almost see him. Hey, Lord, before you go, is there any way I could just see your glory?" And God said, "Moses, no man can see my full glory and live. No man can stand it. But I will hide you in the cleft of the rock. And when I come by, I'll give you a glimpse of my glory." I'm here to tell you tonight, I believe God wants to give us some glimpses of glory. I believe God wants to pass by our way and just give us a little touch of glory, even here in this place. If I didn't believe that, I promise you I wouldn't be here tonight. God is still able to give glimpses of glory. David said this in Psalm 63. "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That I might see thy power and thy glory as I have seen in the sanctuary." Can I tell you something tonight? Them old boys on that mountainside were never the same. See, if you ever get something, if you ever get a moment of glory, if you ever see Jesus in His full power and authority, if you ever see the power and presence of God, you're never the same and you're always longing for it. You're always thirsting for it. You want just a little bit more of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And listen to me. Everybody listen. Everybody wake. Say amen.
Amen.
I think sometimes though we get satisfied, we're okay with living in the moments of the past glories. When God say, "I want to show you my glory today. I want to do something in your life now. I want to give my presence and my power and exhibit what I'm able to do." Let's not just sing the song that God's able. Let's start believing He is.
Amen.
Amen.
These men were never the same. They experienced His glory. And my prayer is tonight we would see His glory. Remember what His glory is? Power and His presence manifested. What does that word manifested mean? It means put on display. Now, let me explain something. If you're saved by God's amazing grace, Jesus Christ lives in you.
Amen.
And guess what? You can't put Him on a shelf. You don't just pick Him up and put Him on when you come to church. All right?
Amen.
You don't just put Him on when you're reading your Bible, when you're singing, when you're doing what we would call spiritual things. He's with us wherever we go. Guess what?
Right.
When you come in here, you brought Him with you.
Yeah.
You know why you know you're saved? And you know one of the reasons you know you're saved? You want to go to church. Because you know why? Jesus likes coming to church.
Amen.
He does. Yeah. Jesus likes to worship. Jesus likes to be among His people. So if you got Jesus in you, it's going to drive you. But I stay with me. So we know He's here. But there are those moments where He will manifest His presence. Where He will display His power.
Yeah.
He will display His presence in a very unique way. And that's what we long for in revival. I want to show you two things quickly. And maybe if I have time, a third thing. It all depends on how quick I preach and how quick you listen. Amen? I want to show you first a glimpse of His glory. A glimpse of His glory. How do we get a glimpse of His glory like they saw that day? The first word I would say to you to get a glimpse of His glory, we have to have times of retreat. The Bible says they went up into a mountain apart. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we don't live on the mountains, do we? We live in the valleys. But aren't you thankful for the mountaintop experiences? Aren't you thankful for the times where God allows us to have those mountaintops when it seems like you've been trudging uphill, you've been down in the valley and it's been tough and hard, and all of a sudden the Lord says, "Hey, won't you come away with me for a little bit and just come away from the world," and you have a moment where you're on a mountaintop. And by mountaintop I mean you sense the presence of God. You have a joyful experience. God meets you at the point of a need. And aren't you thankful for those mountaintop experiences?
Yeah,
we need those times of retreat. We need those moments to pull aside from the world, to focus on the Lord, to be in a place where He might manifest His presence. That's what revival is for. Do you know that? Think about it. That's why we come. On a Monday night, let me ask you your schedule on a Monday night. You going to be singing about Jesus normally on Monday night? Probably not. I'm not getting on to you. Let's just be honest. You probably about this time, I mean, we're watching about the middle episode of Jeopardy. Y'all all right? Yeah, that's right. Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. They finally got it right again. I just liked it that way. Didn't like all that stuff coming on at 6:30. No, it's Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. That's what we do. Then but now listen. But we need moments, don't we? To come in on a Monday night and sing about Jesus. Why? Because the world out there will beat you up. The world out there will tear you down. But you come in here and you start hearing about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who loves to make much of Jesus, will rise up in you. Next thing you know, you're not worried much about that job. Not worried much about those bills. Why? You had moments of retreat to enjoy the presence of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need those moments. But we also need the revelation. Bible says when He moved them to the mountain, He was transfigured before them. It means to transform. It means to totally change appearance. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. Think about it in these terms. The butterfly doesn't start as a butterfly, does it? It begins how? It begins with that caterpillar. The butterfly is on the inside of that caterpillar, but it's got to go through what scientists call a metamorphosis. It goes through a moment where it changes appearance. That butterfly was in that caterpillar all along, but it had to have a moment to come out. See, Jesus was Jesus all along. He was full of glory, but He had masked it by a human body so that He would not make that it would be as a servant, not coming as a king, but coming as a servant. But by the way, parenthetically, He is coming as a king pretty soon. All right, yeah. Get ready.
Yeah, amen.
But that day on the mountain, He needed it, and they needed it. And He let the glory out.
Yeah.
And He was transfigured before them. So white, they said, that there was never garments they'd seen that white, brighter than the sun. Their eyes couldn't even contain it. They were so moved. I'm telling you, God, see, but why? Why would He let that? Because He had laid aside His glory. The Bible says in Philippians 5 and 8, "Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbed to be equal to God," which means He's still God. But made Himself of no reputation.
Yeah.
That means He emptied Himself. He took upon Him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. But on this day, God allowed Him to reveal His full glory. Those have always got a glimpse of glory. You know what else is kind of unique? They saw Moses and Elijah. Now some people, and I'm not smart, but I study. There's a lot of different opinions about why they were there that day. I simply believe they were there to let Peter, James, and John be reminded that Jesus Christ had come to fulfill the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
Law, Moses, Elijah, prophets, that Jesus Christ, they were there that day to signify that they had seen Him in His full glory, and He had come to fulfill all the law and the prophets. But you want to tell us something I thought about that I've never thought about? Them little boys called a glimpse of heaven. That ain't the first conversation Jesus had had with Elijah and Moses. You ever thought about that? Oh, by the way, He wasn't a baby in heaven.
Right. Amen.
What them old boys saw, not only a glimpse of Jesus in His glory, they caught a glimpse of heaven, what heaven was like, that Jesus was just having a conversation with Elijah and Moses. That was normal occurrence in heaven. Every now and then. Every now and then it seems like just in a church service or maybe in a moment just you and God, God will give us a glimpse of heaven. God will let us see when people get saved. God will let folks start shouting. God will let folks start getting excited. And nobody wants to go home. Everybody's excited. Everybody feels full of joy. Guess what? That's what heaven's going to be like. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
I pray God give us some glimpses of heaven tonight. You ever had a moment of glimpse of glory? I believe when somebody gets saved, we get a glimpse of glory.
Amen.
When somebody comes and trusts Christ, their personal Savior. Because the Bible says we are saved in glory. I'm telling you, it is a time of glory. I think when at times of prayer, I've had glimpses of glory, just me and the Lord. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I've had times when I've seen God meet a need in my life, but I've prayed and asked God, and He showed up. I'll tell you, that was a glimpse of glory. In times of peace, in times of healing, in times of brokenness, in moments when I needed to see the presence and power of God, and He showed up on my behalf, that was a glimpse of glory. I'm here to tell you, I've seen it in revival time. I've thought to my dad about it long and hard, and I shared a little bit about it last night, but I have a longing in my heart. I got a glimpse of it this past summer. And I'm thankful for the service that we have at our church and the service we had here this week. I mean, I believe every service is glorious. I really do. I believe every service is glimpses of glory. But we got just a little touch of the power and presence of God. The Friday night of a summer revival that me and two of my friends, we were there with Joe Vernon. And I'm telling you, one person hit the altar. Next thing you know, there's somebody else hit the altar. Next thing you know, there's somebody else praying. They wouldn't have preachers to go around. They actually had to have some deacons come help them. Amen? To start talking to folks. Because, I mean, they flooded the altar. Folks started shouting that hadn't shouted in a while. Folks started just getting excited. I can remember thinking to myself, I am so glad. Number one, that I get to be a part of this. But I'm glad my daughter's here. I'm glad my wife's here. They've never seen something like this. I'm here to tell you, folks, God's still able to do it if we'll get in the place we ought to be. Listen, we can't manufacture it. We can't make God do what He doesn't want to do. But I promise you this, He wants to show His glory. If we'll just get in the right spot and obey Him and let Him do His work, He wants to do it again.
Yeah.
I promise He does.
Praise God.
Now, I know we can't handle it all the time. Our bodies can't. That's why I call it glimpses of His glory. Number two, though, touches of His glory. See, they responded. Peter said, let's build three tabernacles. Poor old Peter. Bless his heart. I probably said the same thing. Really, Mark's gospel says this. Peter felt like he needed to say something, so he just said that. Amen. He just said, this is so awesome. I need to say something. Y'all been there? You just have an experience. Like, boy, I feel like I need to say something. So it comes out. Well, I wish I had said that. That's kind of what Peter was doing. I really believe Peter went. Because as soon as the voice of God came and said, wait a minute. That's my beloved son. Hear him. The Bible says they fell on their knees. Peter went, uh-oh, we've done upset the father. Why? Elijah and Moses were powerful people of God, but they were on the same level. God said, no. I've got one beloved son, and I'm well pleased.
Yeah.
Hear him. Yeah. But then Jesus responds with a touch. See, it's one thing to get a glimpse, but everybody look at me. It's a whole other thing to get a touch. It gets personal.
Yeah.
Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says they fell on their face and were sore afraid, and Jesus came and touched them. Number one, He came to where they were. He came to them. You know, I thought about that a lot. He could have scolded them. Said, good night, boys. Ain't y'all ever going to get it right. Why don't you just get up and let's go down the mountain? No, He came to right where they were at. Everybody look at me. He knows where you're at tonight.
Yeah.
He knows what your hurts are. He knows what your doubts are. He knows what your fears are. He knows the things that's keeping you awake at night. He knows the things that you're struggling with. And I'm here to tell you, He wants to give you a glimpse of glory that'd be able to show you His power and presence. And He'll come to when you don't have the strength to go to where He is. He'll come to where you are. And sometimes that's not in the church building. Sometimes that's not in your house. It might be in a hospital room. It might be in a nursing home. It might be in a doctor's office. It might be out in the field somewhere. It's just you and God. And you know you got to get a hold of God. And He comes to where you are. I'm glad He's not locked in a box. Amen.
Amen.
He comes to where we are. Because they were afraid. Sometimes we get fearful even in the presence of God. Jesus said, I'm coming to where you are. Number two, He touched them. That word touch speaks of embracing. It speaks to fashion oneself to. It means to embrace fully. You ever thought about this? He didn't have to touch them that day. You ever think about it? He didn't have to touch the blind man's eyes. He didn't have to touch the lepers. He could have spoke and it happened. And sometimes He did that. But Jesus knows when we need a touch.
That's right.
We ought to hear what I just said. I need to come in so I can hear me again. He knows when we need a touch.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, every day of my life, I need a touch from Him.
Amen.
But there's those moments in my life I need a touch. I need a touch from Him to do what I'm called to do as a minister. But I need a touch from Him to do what I'm supposed to do as a husband, as a father, as a child of God, as a person in my community. I need the touch of Christ upon my life. Life can get messy. Amen?
Yeah.
But we need the Lord's touch upon us. We need His touch. Not only that, though, He speaks to us. He says, rise up. That word rise means to stir up from sleep. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when He gives us a glimpse of His glory and He touches it with His glory, guess what? It starts stirring something in us. It starts reviving something in us. You say, preacher, I don't know what you all are excited about. You don't know the dry season I've been through in the last couple of years. I'm just telling you, for whatever reason, in God's grace, He's been opening up the bucket here lately. And I just want to stay under the spout where He's pouring out. Y'all all right with that? Because I know there's going to come another season. It's going to be a dry season. So while it's happening, just let me enjoy it. Amen? Because see, when God moves, He stirs something in us.
Yeah.
You get loud.
Amen.
I do.
Yeah.
I know I do. I don't mean to. We had a little boy at our church, and it was during our Christmas program. And I was supposed to share the gospel in between the songs, and I got pretty fired up. And he's normally in children's church. He's not normally out there. He just looked at his mama during the pause that I had, and he said, "Mama, he's loud." I know I'm loud. Hey, that's just who I am. And I'm going to be who I am. But listen, just because that's not who, you just be who you are. But however you wired, let God stir you up the way you're wired. Amen?
Yeah.
That means you want to throw your hands up and run around and do that. But if that's not who you are, don't do it.
That's right.
But I think it ought to at least make you smile. I think it ought to at least create some joy in your heart. Amen?
Yeah.
Because it stirs something in us. We have moments of glory. And I'm going to go quickly right here. I want you to listen. Boy, we'd say this as we close out this passage. Wish I could have been there. But let me tell you what Peter says. In 2 Peter. Peter says, no, I was there, but you've got something better. He said, that was a one day experience and it was awesome. But I want you to listen to what Peter says. Peter says, if we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He said, we were there the day when His glory was revealed. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. Peter's recounting to, in his letter to this very day that we just read about. But listen to what he says. And His voice which came from heaven we heard, we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as into a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what's he talking about? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 gives some clarity to it. Paul's talking about Moses. When he did see the glory of God, his face shone so brightly they had to put a veil over him. People couldn't look at him. But Paul says, that faded. You know why? He's human. He's human. By the way, can I go ahead and tell you something? When you've been in a moment of God's glory and have been and experienced the power and presence of God, people will know it. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but all with open face beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord. You know what that means? Peter said, I had a one day experience. He says, but you, or Paul says, if you, looking into the Word of God, which is what that speaks of, when it speaks of the glass, it's always speaking of the Word of God, of the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Guess what? You and I, if we desire, can have a mountaintop experience with Jesus every day. That doesn't mean it's going to be all fire and whistles. Some days it is, but boy, I'm telling you, every day, He'll meet us at the point of our need. He'll meet us at the point of our need. Now, let me just give you one thought as I'm closing. There will come a time, though, not only will we see glimpses of glory and touches of glory here, but one day there'll be eternal glory. Amen?
Amen.
And those of us that have been saved by God's amazing grace will see Him face to face and be changed by these bodies with a glorified body and be with the Lord forever. Let me just ask you a question tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to get them to come. Not yet, just in a moment. I want you to just listen real close, and I'm done right here. I thought about this all afternoon. Lord, You desire to give us glimpses of glory. And by that I mean people getting saved. We don't like to see some people saved, amen?
Amen.
By that, I'm talking about marriages getting healed. I'm talking about people that are not in church start coming to church. I'm talking about folks that seeing His power and presence, when you start going, I don't know how that happened. I can only explain that by the power and presence of God. That's the kind of stuff God's wanting to do. It is. So what is it, and what do we have to do? And I've thought about it a lot. I don't claim to have the all answer, but let me just show you what I've studied and thought about today and as God revealed it to me. These old boys didn't work anything up. Moses didn't work anything up. Solomon didn't work anything. But let me tell you what they did do. They followed Jesus. They were obedient to Him when He said, come with me. They went. In at least two instances where God showed His glory to individuals, they prayed and asked for it. And then they were just obedient to do what God wanted them to do. You ever been in a service like this? It seemed like it was just as dry as a creek bed. You know what I'm saying? But then somebody that's saved makes their way to the altar. And later on, they might even say this. I'm not sure why I went. I just felt I was supposed to go. All of a sudden, the floodgates open. People start coming. Why? Somebody was obedient. Amen? See, I think we miss the glimpses of glory because of disobedience and rebellion against the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Could it be tonight God's whispering something in your heart? He desires to give you personally in this church glimpses of glory. Are we willing to come and ask? I want you to draw in with me, particularly Pleasant Hill folks. I want you to hear my heart. I know I'm preaching long, but it's all right. I'm almost done. I've only been almost done for 15 minutes, I promise. Your pastor moved my heart last night when I came and prayed with him as he was shedding tears, begging God to send revival. But he needs some Aaron Hurts to come alongside him. And say, Pastor, I join with you in that prayer, believing God to give us glimpses of glory. And I'm telling you, I've been asking God all day, God, see that dear man's prayers and see his tears and honor them. Because I promise you, I've been there in the altar when you're by yourself begging God for revival thinking nobody else wants it. I'm not saying that's what he did. I'm speaking personally. But there's something special happens when people gather together with the man of God and you begin to come in one people begging God to see his glory. He didn't show Moses his full glory, but he did give him a glimpse. Amen?
Amen.
Would to God tonight there'd be some people Pleasant Hill and at Center Baptist that say this, Lord, show us your glory. He's not obligated to, but I promise you, we'll stand a greater chance if we'll ask. Amen? And we'll get in the place that we need to be with Him. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. Here's how I want to give the invitation. As they come with a song of invitation, if God speaks to your heart and you so feel led to come in this altar, would you be willing to come and pray? If you're saved tonight, would you be willing to come and pray and say, Lord, I have a longing to see a glimpse of your glory. And I know there's nothing physical about, nothing spiritual It's supernatural about coming to an altar, but it does say to the Lord, I'm hungry to see your glory. I'm longing to see your glory. That's not just for Pleasant Hill. That's for Center Baptist or anybody else here that's a member somewhere else or you're visiting. I don't care. If God's put it on your heart, would you be willing to do that when the invitation comes? Just say, oh God, I want to see some glimpses of glory. I want to see some marriages healed. Anybody got any lost people on your heart? Anybody got some folks that you're praying for that's not where they ought to be with the Lord? Anybody need a touch of God? How much do you want it tonight? Oh, God's not obligated. We can't force Him. We can sure get in a place where the glory can be shown. Tonight, if you're not saved, I want to tell you where the glory can be shown in your life. That's coming and trusting Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. I promise you, if you'll come and call out to Him, the Bible says those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe God can save you tonight if you'll come. That's going to be the invitation. I'm going to pray. They're going to sing. Obey the Lord, would you? Obey the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak now as only you can. Oh, Father, draw those to you tonight that need to come. And you know, God, who they are, and you know what you're desiring to do. Move in this place, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me? Just obey the Lord. Obey the Lord tonight.
Green Book 299.
Greg stands. You need to come tonight. You come. Just obey the Lord tonight.
Out of my
was looking for? Tears.
That's heartbroken.
I've seen them. And I know what they mean. Brother Lloyd couldn't remember it. At Double Springs, they had and still do to this day, they've got an altar that's made out of felt, I guess it is. Softest altar you've ever laid your head on. But I want you to know, there's some of my DNA on that altar.
Bless your heart.
Because I've shed some tears on that altar.
Bless your heart, brother.
I've shed some tears on this altar. I've shed some tears on New Hope's altar. And I've shed some tears at some other altars. Why? Because I mean business with the Lord.
Bless your heart, brother.
And if Moses could have shed tears, I believe he would have, Brother Myron, because he wanted to see the glory of God.
That's right. Amen.
He was so close that he had seen some of the judgment of God, but he wanted to see the glory of God.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I so much appreciate Brother Michael preaching there. Oh, how that God has shown His glory before and He wants to show it again.
Amen.
If we'll just get out of the way and let Him. If we'll just get out of the way and let Him. Amen. Got a word before we close out tonight's service. If you've enjoyed the service, say amen.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, say amen again.
Amen.
I appreciate Center Baptist coming and singing for us tonight, and the brother that sang a special. I know it thrills Brother Michael's heart for them to come. I appreciate you supporting your pastor. It does mean a lot. And church, just so you know, there's a new piece of sound equipment back there, and they got to break it in for us. Thought they did pretty good with it too. I literally mean that. That was the first time it got used, apart from it getting installed. And I appreciate that. Appreciate all the visitors. Just because y'all not seeing it tomorrow night, y'all welcome to come back.
Amen.
Anytime.
I'm sorry. Sorry, it slipped out there. Sorry.
Oh, but visitors, home folk alike, y'all welcome to come back tomorrow night. Anytime the doors are open, anybody's welcome. Brother Clinton, who's coming tomorrow night to sing?
The acapella.